separate informal language in a report saying the language is here, here are the various reasons why the commission deleted it for consideration, because it appeared that the major problems are in the adjudicatory field, but if the, the language is wished by the legislature for any purpose, at least you've got it as a resource. We're not currently urging you to pass it at this time.
Peter, do you have some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I guess speaking for the executive branch, I would prefer, and the executive branch would prefer to not forward anything to the legislature with the name of this commission attached to it, which I, I think this commission does, this commission's name would lend some credibility and weight to anything associated with our name. I wouldn't want to see our name associated with anything that includes the provisions that I think there's two provisions here that are really problematic. One is the regulatory analysis requirement, and the other is the explanatory statement requirement. That's sections 91 and sections and section 121. And I would be concerned about there being some inference on the part of some legislators that even if we included those provisions in a report, that there might be some approval on the part of the commission. And, unless we vote to give that approval, I wouldn't want to see it inferred.
Do I understand you to say, Peter, that the rules revision portion, but for those two sections, might be useful and not draw the criticism?
Yes. Well, I think without those two sections, there's really probably no change from the status quo.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I, with due respect to my friend, we're in a kind of a silly position if some legislator who hears about this said, well, you're trying to hide raw materials that were available to you that we might want. I wasn't trying to make a federal case out of it. I was just saying that partly with regard to maintaining good relationships with the branch that we're a part of, that we do it up front. We don't, I suppose, if to reference Peter's concerns, perhaps the language might not be presented to the legislature, but referred to, stating that the provisions deleted on this policy decision are available from the commission and from the Legislative Affairs Agency, but it is not considered a commission product because of the policy decision. However, since it is a major policy decision of the sort that legislators kind of like to make, and if we at least meet activist legislators who have some interest in the kind of things we do halfway by at least saying the materials are available, then I think that we're just proceeding prudently.
Let me ask a question of you, Peter. You say with the excision of the two troublesome provisions there, our draft merely maintains the status quo. Is that to say that there's nothing that our bill really does that isn't already in effect?
That's my preliminary view at this time, yes.
Well, if that's true, why do we need
anything?
The first 14 pages?
Well, that's my point at the last meeting in trying to delete the first 14 pages here. The only real changes from the status quo, as I see it, are the addition of these two sort of burdens upon the regulatory regulation adoption process. Regulation analysis before notices are published, and secondly, explanatory statements before adoption orders are signed. Everything else here is just, is for the most part, maybe Mary has worked on this more than I have.
That's a lot of this, as we just went over, is the administrative journal. And, of course, it's inactive. I mean, it wasn't at the time the draft began many, many years ago. But I concur with Peter. I mean, I'm recalling the discussions we had. I mean, the analysis and the explanatory statements, that's what this whole thing was trying to get accomplished. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, for the purposes of the discussion and not to cut off debate, I move that we delete all the material through line 27 on page 14.
Okay, discussion on that?
Or line 26, rather.
OK, Okay, just by way of discussion, Maureen Weeks, legislative assistant to Senator Rick Halpert, our Senate member, indicated that he had some views, stopped short of saying strong views, but he had some definite views on the rulemaking portion. I indicated we'd do the best we could to try and wait for him. She wasn't sure if he'd be able to attend this session. I don't think there's a
revocation.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means, whether it's favorable or not, but I don't think that probably should delay our vote on what we do with the first 14 pages of our draft. Unless
I'm not sure I agree with that, Mr. Chairman. If he has a real interest, I think we maybe should defer it and to give him an opportunity.
Yeah, we're Judge Stewart has the floor right now, Fred.
Okay, I didn't know whether you were hearing me. Go ahead.
I'm inclined to the view that we should defer until we hear from him if he has strong views one way or the other, partly because he's a new member of the commission and hasn't previously had the opportunity to comment, and yet whatever we do would come out under the name of the commission with his membership. And
I talked to Maureen during lunch, and she indicated that Senator Halpert was really excited about being a member of the commission because he's always tended to vote negative on reformations of the law because he didn't know the process. And so I would hope maybe what we could do is call his office and see if he would be able to make it, and just that, and see what kind of schedule he has. Maureen said she would not be here this afternoon.
Well, when I spoke with Maureen, I told her that we had to go off teleconference at 2:30 and would likely adjourn by then, and if Senator Halpert could make it before then, that would be helpful.
I'll be off the line for about 10 seconds.
So,
why don't you call him and see?
Okay. Would you mind calling?
No.
The wrong country. That would be the use of a motion to table if you were in the British Parliament, but in the United States, a motion to table effectively kills something until a difficult motion is made to take it from the table. So I move to postpone to a time certain, being consideration of this issue at our next meeting, for the reasons that you indicated.
Always anxious to indulge you, Fred. We will do that. Are you offering that as a motion?
The time certain being our next meeting.
That would mean that the draft would be all ready to go out, but would not go out to the state agencies, and that's perfect in timing. I think we can get everything ready, and then at our next meeting, or shortly thereafter, we can get it out.
Well, we can probably even have legislative affairs prepared in such fashion, so there's a blank page, maybe between the pages with a cover sheet, and so it'll go out quickly.
Yeah.
Well, they have it available both ways. Just
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion to postpone consideration of the inclusion or excision of the first 14 pages dealing with rulemaking power till our April 20th meeting?
No objection, Mr. Chairman. With the understanding that you would advise Senator Halpert that we have done that in order to include him in a discussion of what to do about rulemaking, if anything.
Okay. Hearing no objection, so passed. Are there any further matters concerning the Administrative Procedure Act?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Fred, were you able to pick up copies of the minutes that were sent to the Legislative Information Office in Fairbanks?
Then we have the budget.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want to pass that around now. So.
Are you on standby? You're on standby?
Yes.
And you called before I called?
No, I didn't. Is there discussion on that?
They look good.
Well, in spite of the fact that I drafted the minutes, I would move to amend them.
Oh, okay.
And the amendment would include reference to the fact that Maureen Weeks appeared here on behalf of Senator Rick Halford as his legislative aide at the last commission meeting.
Oh, yes.
A matter I neglected to put in there.
I'll incorporate that in the main motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any further discussion? Any objections? The minutes are adopted as amended. Have the commission members had an opportunity to look at the budget document? It's a one-page document, Fred. I don't know if it was sent down there. It was supposed to be, but it may not have been. It's a status report on our present budget.
What's the bottom line?
Bottom line is $21,000.
No?
It's still available. That does not reflect the costs of this meeting. And it also won't reflect any requests for per diem or cost reimbursement such as mine, which I've not yet presented. But we're not talking about a great deal of money. So we have in the area of $21,000 left.
For two meetings?
For two meetings.
Well, really, three meetings.
Three meetings.
Including this one.
We passed earlier motions, Mr. Chairman, regarding the possibility that you, I think from the January meeting, that you have discretion, for instance, to authorize travel for members of the bar committee, for instance, and other interested persons, I think. So we do have possible contingent uses.
Yeah, and I don't know, and unless we wanted to, well, I guess there's nothing we can do on the APA, is there, Mary?
No.
Corporation bill might have hearings before the session is over.
We might have something on that, and I've been requested to appear and offer testimony on April 14th on the Cooperative Corporation bill when its first hearing occurs.
You can use funds for that.
Funds for that. So that might be a topic of consideration. Is there any interest at all in having Dan Fessler appear at that hearing?
I think it would be...
And that's not a recommendation.
I think it might be premature. I think it would be better to get it in and get them started on it, and then from that position determine the desirability of having him appear. I can imagine it might very well be useful, but I think it would be premature at the very first session.
Okay. I feel very comfortable in testifying on the Cooperative Corporation bill. I would not feel so comfortable on the for-profit bill, but I'm very familiar with that bill, our draft bill, and current law and current practice. So I have no problem in that respect. I just throw it out for whatever it's worth. All right, we've now covered all of the matters on our agenda, unless any of the commissioners have any miscellaneous business they wish to
raise. I just wanted to confirm, Mr. Chairman, that item number 8 was consideration of occupational licensing. Peter Frelick and I have not done anything as a subcommittee, but at the next meeting we would presumably have at least some report on the status of the administration position.
Sure.
Whether they want to do anything with the bill we previously drafted.
I just placed that on the agenda in the event there was any interest or any need to discuss any matters, and there are none, so that matter will be carried over to our next meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to report briefly that I have been in touch with the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing, and she's very enthusiastic about pursuing, in general terms, pursuing the project, particularly because it will enhance standardization among the various boards, which is a goal that she's now trying to work towards.
Okay, it's my understanding there is at least one bill, and perhaps more than that, that are presently in some stage of the legislative process.
Relating to the subject matter?
Related to occupational licensing. So it may be helpful to us if we can find out exactly what those bills do.
That would be a function that Peter and I as a subcommittee would
correct
report to you on at the next meeting.
Yes. Is there any further business to come before the commission at this time?
Well, item 9.
Item 9.
Nine.
Confirm agenda date and place for the next meeting.
Okay.
Great minds think alike. Practical considerations here.
We have already set a time for that, and I've got to find my copy of the old, of the last
set of minutes. It was set for April 10 and 11.
April 10 and 11.
Hello?
I don't see my...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to do three things at once.
We were talking, Fred, about the next meeting, which is scheduled very shortly, as a matter of fact, April 10 and 11.
Yes, that was scheduled that way because the following weekend is Easter.
I recall.
The question is, are we going to be ready for it? What would be the subject matter?
Yeah, occupational licensing.
And...
with the dates tentatively set at our January meeting.
Right.
Is there any conflicts on those dates? Hearing none, we will hold fast to April 10 and April 11. Fred, do you have an idea if you're going to be able to attend in person?
There's a much higher probability than this time because I don't have any trials, and this wonderful case that I'm up in the position of friend and partner of Mary Hughes will be over one way or the other, either by trial or settlement.
Okay, we really do need some lead time from you, Fred, when you want to set this thing up, because you...
I thought I could go until, I think, yesterday. I really thought I was leaving no later than this morning, and it was only developments yesterday that kept me here.
Well, if you can provide a little lead time the next time, then we won't stretch our welcome or wear out our welcome with legislative affairs. It's been very...
I didn't expect to be there.
All right.
I think that it looks like from the agenda that we probably would have a one-day meeting. So perhaps those of us from Anchorage could anticipate that.
I think that's probably realistic.
Get your reservation for return on that.
So press, I don't, yeah, I will get it now. one thing, Mr. Chairman, when we first set up the meeting schedules, and I knew you wanted them on a monthly basis, I guess the commission wanted them on a monthly basis throughout the legislative session, the May meeting was, I think, scheduled for the 8th and 9th.
That's correct.
I said that I might not be able to attend that meeting, and I will not be in the state on the 8th and 9th of May. So it's not that it has to be rescheduled. I just want to have the chair know that...
Well, we may want to do that at our next meeting.
Yeah. The session, though...
That's what was going to be my question. When is the end of the session?
About the 20th of May.
So it's sometime around then. How long are you to be gone, Barry?
I will leave on the 7th, which is right before that, and then I don't return to Anchorage until the 18th, so
well,
it would
how about
have
doing
to...
it on Monday of that week?
Oh, we could do that. Yeah, I mean, I could do it
on May the
May 4th.
May 4th.
Mm-hmm. Or we could, I mean, conceivably, we could do it on May Day, May 1st, the previous Friday. I mean, for my schedule, that's
Monday would be better for me. I'm committed on May 1st.
Okay. Well, maybe we could think about this. I just wanted to bring it to your attention that I would not be here. So.
Okay, why doesn't everybody write down May 4th as a very likely alternative to that meeting so that we can have you present, Mary, and we'll have a better idea of where we stand at the next meeting.
In the legislature.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, you're saying there's a possibility that May meeting would be changed to the 4th?
That's correct, Fred.
Okay, I don't think that's a problem.
Because we do want that May one more meeting before the end of the session.
Right.
Would that be an additional meeting besides what we scheduled?
No, that would be in lieu of the May 8 and 9 meeting.
Okay. Monday. It'll be a one-day meeting on Monday, May 4th?
Correct.
I don't think there's a problem here.
Okay. Well, we haven't set that firm yet, Fred, but if you would...
Mr. Chairman, I move that we do.
All right.
We know that Mary can't be here at the other date. We know we want one reasonably close to the end of the legislature.
Sure.
And it would be too close if we went later.
Are there any objections to setting the May meeting date for one-day meeting, May 4th, Monday?
I presume that's with the understanding that we might call some further meetings on relatively short notice depending upon developments in the legislature.
If necessary.
Right. I have no objection.
Hearing no objection, we'll now change the May meeting date to May 4th rather than May 8th and 9th. Are there any further matters to come before the commission at this time? We stand adjourned until April 10th.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Fred. Talk to you later.
It's good to have the expressed interest of Rick Halpert.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut him off. I just I like to
move
these things along.
Yeah, I think that's real good.
Yeah.
So you're on standby?
Right.
You people.
Are you on the flight, Wilson?
I'm going to go in the morning or tomorrow sometime.
Sometime. You're okay.
There's a later flight out, so I'll be back in Anchorage tonight, so not a question.
There is a later flight?
Yeah, an 8:50 flight.
Alaska?
Yeah.
Oh, when the... Oh.
I thought there was only the one.
Yeah, I thought there
was
two.
5:40 and an 8:50.
Oh.
I need to go out the road sometime before businesses close up at 6. Mm-hmm. If you two people would like a ride, I'd be glad to give you a ride.
You're wonderful. I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go out early, though, Tom. Because I'm probably going to go out early, though, because the way they work standby is regardless of when you put your name on standby.
That's fine. When do you want to go? You want to go now, or do you want to go at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
What, is that early enough, John?
Well, I'm not going to spend that much more time out there. If I don't make it, I don't make it.
Okay.
Besides, I'd like to try and make a couple stops. And
how about, should we meet at the Baronoff at 4?
Sure.
All right.
That'd be nice.
I'll pick you up at 4.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. Did you hit the off button, Peter?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, did you hit the off button?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, so you couldn't even get in first class? Or did you try and get
booked?
I may have got the last seat. I mean, because my secretary called as soon as...
You can give it to me if you want.
No, I'm not. I said, you know, that's a really good idea. Nobody's on the Saturday.
Yeah, I guess they've
I mean, you know, that's true. I mean, nobody's getting...
There's hardly anybody on the later night flight either.
Paper for, you know, home
I didn't even know. I wouldn't have been so worried about it if I had known there was a later night flight.
Oh, yeah.
Now I feel like,
because
we could even go until 6 or 7 and still make that flight.
Well, you can get confirmed on them.
Submitted
bids
and didn't have their license. You know.
There's plenty of seats on that flight.
Because it gets into
Anchorage.
If
you want to get in earlier.
Yeah.
Get you in there tonight, anyhow.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Have you been up to Fairbanks a lot?
I spent last week there, and then I spent the last week of February there. And the third week of January.
So I've
tried, I think, 4 or 5 jury trials, and I've got to go back on April the 20th and sentence some people.
I'm sorry?
When you get back, you need to call
we
our
had,
friend.
A friend of mine was serving on a jury, and I don't know if it was Rick Judge Slocum. Kraft that was the judge. Southeast doing a criminal trial in Anchorage, and he wanted to get it done this week.
Oh, yeah, this Kraft.
He doesn't have one.
I thought it was Kraft.
He's sitting in for Carlson's up in Whitehorse.
I thought it was Kraft because I said, well, is it Schultz? Or, you know, I was going through the judges, and I thought it was Kraft. And they said he was intent about getting it done this week. The court's going from 8:30 to 4:30 to 5:30 to 6:30 if necessary. And the jurors, a couple of days ago, this would have been Tuesday, because this fellow left the jury room at 5:30, made a flight down to Homer, and then came back that night about midnight so that he could do his work in addition to be on the jury.
But he's also going to want to talk to you about what he
should do. The judge didn't even give him lunch until like 1:30.
He called.
I mean, it was fast, you know, fast.
He's real upset.
And he's going, this is judicial economy here. But the case will be tried, I'm sure, by today.
I can do.
Well, I don't know. We, you know, I just told him that he, you know, he's.
Is the case load seeming to be the same,
or
has it increased?
I don't think so. I mean,
the numbers of places have dropped off.
I was
thinking that it may have dropped off.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not going back anymore. They asked me to when I was up there last week.
It's got to go to court.
And then I told them I couldn't tell until I got down here.
Yeah, but
I called the first of this week.
Violation
and,
of municipal
first day I said, no, I can't do it,
sure,
and then
somebody can call the municipal.
My plans change, and so I call them back the next day, which is Tuesday, and said, I can't do it. I said, we don't need you. We've got somebody else.
They got somebody after you called.
But I told them I'd take care of this.
If they can use somebody from Anchorage, it's cheaper, because they don't have to pay them anything extra. They pay me 25% of salary, and somebody that's sitting, they don't have to do that much about it. And it's also, of course, cheaper for
travel.
I'll see what happens when I try to get one.
There you go.
From Anchorage? I mean, there are.
I'm not sure. I mean, I have no idea what.
I don't know whether any of them are doing anything
wrong.
Well, that would be Evan Lewis and Ralph Moody.
TCD,
I saw Moody the other day.
It's usually
$5,000
cash bond. Will I accept?
We had a client party, and I think Judge Moody was at the client party.
Time CD, yeah.
And, but I don't, I didn't even ask him about whether he was sitting at all.
I don't know.
That probably hurt.
Jim Hansen, I think, is sitting.
Yes, he is. He is.
Probably.
That's right. But I don't see, I haven't seen Judge Lewis for a long time. I see his son, Tad's practicing now. He's with the Alaska Railroad.
Yeah, well, I have an extra set of the comments on the administrative procedure.
Well, we'll pick you up at 4.
This was passed out to us.
4 o'clock, please. That would be great.
That's very nice.
Do you have the time or the inclination or the energy to walk upstairs and see if we can catch Terry Bannister?
Of course.
See if we can change that language on the appropriations book, because that's all that's left.
Terry Kramer.
Oh, please.
Terry Kramer.
No, Terry Bannister. This is the appropriation code.
No wonder you're so slow.
Terry Kramer is the APA.
APA.
I'm having enough time, Tom. Enough trouble.
What kind of race?
See you at 4.
See you at 4.
Oh, swimming. Have you lost weight, Will?
Have a good swim.
He lost weight, about half of himself.
That's what, I mean, I thought.
70 pounds.
Oh, no, you were never. Yes, you were.
I sure was.
Hey, you look great.
Thank you.
And you've got the minutes.
Hal Brown is only a shadow of him, his former self. He's lost 30 pounds since I saw him.
Lynn Barnes will do that for us.
I mean, I have seen him.
You give her the information.
Tell Susan we'll see her on the 15th of May.
I love it.
I will definitely do that.
I love it.
Well, folks, nice to see all of you.
Good for you.
Good to see you, Will.
And I'll be here next time.
Good.
See you then.
And you'll talk to me on Monday.
I will talk to you on
Monday. Okay, take care.
Have a good swim.
Yeah, I probably will come by your office. All right. I mean, I'd stick my head in your little part of the office.
Yeah, okay.
Might do.
Let's see. John, are you going to look at this computer? You're going to check something with the erasable program or something? Are you going to do that this afternoon?
What I found out was that the original format is still in on the hard disk drive, which leads me to believe that the secretary never understood how to put stuff on the hard disk drive, and she merely operated with floppy. So she just operated the computer as though it had no hard disk drive.
Huh.
Because otherwise, if you just formatted it accidentally, you'd take everything out, including all the files that have been set up.
Huh.
So the only way that you could erase it would be an accidental format of the hard disk drive, which takes everything off it, including the operating system program, or go through and individually erase every single thing. And doesn't make sense.
So instead of being erased, it may have never been put in. Printed or
right.
Whatever you call it.
So I've asked them to try and locate the floppy disks, because I know there were a bunch of floppies that were with it.
Huh.
And if I can get the floppies, I can run them on my system.
Yeah. Well, where is the machine now, anyway? I've been talking to Lynn about...
Well, there's two machines.
Yeah,
one's
a temp.
There's
two temps, I guess.
No, one's a 4 and one's a 10.
Oh, because one guy, the guy that sold them to the commission, said that he sold them 2 10s and a 4.
I don't think so. I think the first one we bought was a 4.
Okay.
And that's what they told me upstairs, which kind of refreshed my recollection.
Right. Well, there is a 4 involved, too,
Let's go upstairs and find out.
I've been trying to pursue getting one of the 10s, or the 10, in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out, and so far they've said, well, we have to, there's some stuff that we have on memory that we have to, record or copy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're talking about, the disk drive. And then I found out that it can't be hooked up by coax cable to the mainframe, but that you can get access with a modem.
Modem. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get a modem. I don't think I can get the Department of Law to buy one. I was thinking I may end up buying one, myself. But I thought I might bring it up and see if the commission, if we have money, if we...
They won't pop for about $350?
Who? Department of Law?
Yeah.
They won't. I don't think they'll pop for anything.
Well, let's have the commission pop for it then.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
If,
Sure. We
got
the money. We have the money, and you're a member of the commission, and you need to have a computer.
And then it'll belong... then it'll just stay with the unit. And after... Whatever happens to me,
We'll get you a Hey
you
Smart.
You get fired
modem.
From the commission.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
well, for voting for this Administrative Procedure Act rewrite.
You need a.
We get fired from the AG's
office. The AG's
office,
I was going to say.
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and let's go up and talk to Tam Cook now.
Yeah, okay.
We'll just go ahead and do it because you need to buy a Hayes smart modem or a Hayes compatible.
Yeah. Well, see, I talked to the guy that sold those to the commission before. He's still down there.
Idiot.
See,
he's an absolute idiot. He's brain damaged.
See, I don't know much about him. But, yeah. I mean, about the machines. I bought some speakers from that guy one time. And, they work, but.
No, he sells you whatever he has in stock.
Yeah, he said a modem would be less than $200.
Well, it's not, because it has to be Hayes compatible, and the Hayes modems all run $300 to $400, and you want a 1200 baud modem, so that you don't have to wait forever to.
It has a 300 baud built into it, but that's too slow.
That's much too slow.
Yeah.
That sounds good, that if you could get that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk to Tam Cook.
All right.
Okay. I think I'll leave my stuff down here.
Yeah, I'm going to leave all my stuff down here.
I don't want to bring all my shopping. Everything I shop. Okay, so we'll go up and you guys are going to talk to Tam Cook, and then we're going to talk to Terry with respect to that one particular. I should have brought my notes on that.
We got everything turned
off. Are they going to use this room?
Oh.
No.